everybody, and welcome to episode 29 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Tell your friends, tell your family. You know, force them if you have to. I don't care. Strap them to a chair and make them listen. The more, the merrier. I would also like to apologize to the two people who won prizes from my part of the listener appreciation show. I just finally got those out today. So, Stretch and Kim, sorry about that, but you should have them by Monday. What?
Nothing.
What? What?
Nothing.
You know, sometimes...
It's terrible.
Sometimes it's very confusing logging into FedEx. I'm just kidding. I just, I actually just forgot. So, I apologize.
That reminds me, Smith, get a hold of me so I can give you your prize.
You're kidding though, right?
No, actually, I have her prize.
Oh, you haven't given her a prize yet?
Well, because we went through the whole how she changed her name over the air, she was afraid to give me her address.
Well, what'd you think, we were going to give that out over the air?
I don't know. Just felt we had already shared a little too much of her personal information.
That's pretty funny, actually.
And actually, Smith has a little prize for me.
Do we really need to hear any more of this?
Yeah, actually, she was in Savannah, Georgia a couple weeks ago, and she went to Paula Deen's restaurant. She knows how much I love Paula Deen, so she brought me back something.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Fried chicken, probably.
Well, I hope not, because it's been a few weeks.
You think it might be a little rank by now? Did you ever see the throwdown, the Bobby Flay throwdown with her, where they made fried chicken?
No.
Oh, it was really good.
Please tell me she won.
Yeah, she won.
He doesn't win those throwdowns very often.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen enough to know.
Keep in mind, though, he's putting himself against the best.
Sure, of the best. Right. I think, I want to say he won the taco one that I saw, which is surprising.
Yeah.
But, you know, with something like fried chicken, you can go to a particular part of the country and you know you're going to be dealing with the best.
Right.
Tacos are made well in so many parts of the United States.
And differently.
Right, so differently. It's a little bit trickier of a thing.
And more subjective.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, and you could say that fried chicken is subjective too. But I'll say for the record right here, Kentucky Fried Chicken sucks.
I'm sure compared to Paula Deen's.
Yeah. That was a joke, by the way. I don't have anything against Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Are you afraid they'll come back and sue?
No, I was just making a joke. Okay, so I guess let's get right into video games.
Okay.
What are you playing right now?
Well, no, I'm getting... It would appear so.
No,
I'm getting... Because I know you like to ask questions, and so I'm getting the answers.
So you're finally
to the
doing the research that you should have
before
done...
Before you ask
...during
them.
The past 5 days.
So why don't you start with what you've been playing?
Well, I don't really have a lot new. I played Warhammer Online some more. You know, I really wish that I was enjoying that game more than I am. It's very polished. It looks nice. You know, it's very polished. I haven't had any crashes or anything like that. But I feel like it's too hard. Or maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. But, like, when you get a quest in a lot of RPGs, whether they're online or solo player games... When you get a quest, there's some kind of marker that tells you basically where you're supposed to go. Because especially as these game worlds get bigger and bigger and bigger, I mean, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. Well, in Warhammer Online, when you get a quest and it's in a particular area, you see like a little portion of the map that's kind of like, it almost looks like somebody spilled coffee on it. It's kind of darker. Mm-hmm. And it has a pretty, you know, distinct outline. But your objective could be anywhere inside that area. And they're usually fairly big.
Right.
So... Again, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. And so I've got all these quests that my character has. This particular character is like, I don't know, level 8 or 9 or something like that. And I've got all these quests, and I feel like every time I go to do a quest, I just get killed. Like, it seems like it's too hard. I don't know what the deal is, but...
Maybe it's the whole needle in the haystack.
I don't see what that has to do with anything.
So we'd say that one more time.
Okay, fine. I don't know. Every once in a while I'll go in and I'll play for a while and then I just get frustrated and I turn it off. And to me, that's not really the sign of a great game.
No.
That's more
it's
the
not,
sign of, you know.
It's not really what they're looking
that's
for.
That's more the sign of things like, you know, work. Where you just like do it for a while and then you're like, you know what, I've had enough of this.
Right.
So I don't know. But that's the only thing. What's coming out soon?
I don't know.
Can you look?
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the things that annoys me about IGN. I don't think you can subscribe to RSS on IGN for specific platforms. Like, I would like to just subscribe to their PC stuff, and maybe the Xbox 360 stuff. but not all the other things that I don't care about. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I don't think you can do that.
Taking so
long. If you can do that and somebody knows how to do that, because I couldn't find it anywhere on their site. It seems to just be, you know, you get all or nothing. And they post the same story 900 times because they'll post the same story about a game for every platform it's on. And right. I don't know, some other variations that equal 900 iterations of the same thing, which is quite annoying, I might add. When's Wolfenstein coming out? You say Wolfenstein or Wolfenstein?
I would say Stein.
Okay. That's what I said.
Yeah. You know, IGN is so hard to like
navigate, right? It's hard to find anything on there. That's what I'm saying. I might go back to GameSpot. I'm getting a little tired of IGN's craziness.
Let's go to GameSpot.
Oh, you know what? Oh, shoot. I totally forgot. Somebody actually sent me last week, right after we did the podcast, somebody who had just listened to the previous week's podcast actually sent me suggestions for what to hum.
And?
I don't have them handy. So I'm going to run in the other room, and I'm gonna go look them up. So you hum something while you're trying to find that.
I'll be right back. Well, what? Oh, okay. Right. I'm not humming anything, by the way. But I do have what's coming out. So when you come back, you're going to have to edit this out.
Why?
Because I feel like you left me in the middle of the lake. You're like, oh, I got to take the boat back to the shore. I'll be back to get you in a minute.
Well, that's fine. That's what happens every time you look stuff up and I'm sitting here humming.
But I have the answers to your questions.
Okay, so tell
them. Okay. Let's see. You got G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. It's coming out on August 4th.
You know, I don't think, I think I can safely say, factually, that I've never played a tie-in game. I can't think of one that I've played. And maybe that's wrong, but I can't think of one.
I can't think of any that you've played either, but...
Yeah.
Hearts of Iron 3?
Well, okay, the Star Wars Lego games and the Indiana Jones, but...
Yeah, but
in
they
terms
weren't directly
of like,
tied, like, being released at the same time as the movie.
Right. Yeah, right.
Hearts of Iron 3 on PC?
I don't know what that is.
Well, you haven't played the first two, obviously. Fallout 3 Mothership Zeta comes out.
Yeah, well, I'd love to play that. I just hope that I can play it. I still have never been able to finish...
Oh, really?
Point Lookout, because it keeps crashing.
Hannah Montana Rock Out the Show on PSP.
I'm totally there.
There's really not a lot for a while.
Wait, so when's Wolfenstein coming out?
I don't see that yet.
Oh, I think it's sometime in the next couple of weeks, though. All right, so anyway, just so you know, here are my choices. These are from Yvonne. You know, our old pal Yvonne?
Yeah.
Suggestions for what I can hum while you're looking up stuff. Mexican Hat Dance.
That's...
How does that go?
No, that's not it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- one might get
so
a little bit annoying.
While I was typing.
Okay. Hamster Dance theme song.
I don't know. We're going to have to look that one up.
I don't know what that is. Kenny G, famous song from the 90s.
Sadly, I happen to know it's called Songbird.
How does it go?
No.
No. Come on.
It's not.
Because I'll remember it once you start.
No, because it's not really one you can hum on air.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not doing it.
Come on, and then I'll remember it.
Hey,
just
I have
start
the answer to your question.
Wait. Just start it. Because I'll remember it as soon as you start it.
I really don't know it.
You're such a liar. He's such a bad liar. And then the Doogie Howser theme song. I've never seen that show.
Oh, I don't know that.
I've never seen that show. You know what? I'm going to go off the board with the theme song from Cannonball Run.
Okay, but I've already found what we're looking for.
But I'm saying for the next time.
Okay. Surprise me with it when it's necessary.
All right, wait. Let me write that down so I don't forget. Okay, so what's the
Wolfenstein answer? Comes out on August 18th.
Excellent. I'm very much looking forward to that. Okay, so what have you been playing?
I've been playing, again, an iPhone game, just because...
That was probably the biggest aside we've ever had.
Yeah?
I'm just saying.
And it's called Ocurro, Occurro. It's a twin stick shooter, which you're like, well, how could you play that? But actually, you can either do it like twin stick style, or do it obviously without the sticks, or do it like motion control.
Okay.
But it works so well at both. And you know how I'm kind of against the accelerometer,
sure.
And how.
Yeah.
But it really has, you get a feel for it right away.
Yeah.
And in order to shoot, what's really cool about shooting your laser is you just press.
Well, do you really need to explain what's cool about shooting a laser? I think pretty much everyone gets that.
Well, what's cool about the style of shooting here is you press your finger and kind of just like move it in the direction you want it to shoot.
Yeah.
And you can do it either, you know, staying stationary, you only have so much laser you can shoot. You've got to move in order to boost your laser back up.
Okay.
And so obviously, you know, you're just shooting enemies and there are power-ups, but I've really had a lot of fun with it because, like I said, I've played it both ways because you can play it as the where your other, like your left thumb moves the ship, doing it in the same motion,
right,
like moving in the direction you want to move, and your right thumb does the laser.
Okay. So it's like a top-down shooter?
Yeah, it's like Geometry Wars. You ever play that? Or
no.
Okay, for lack of a better example, Asteroids. But,
right.
You know.
So you're stationary within that screen?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like Bosconian or something.
No,
where
you know what? Let me
around.
Take that back. There is a playing space, but it kind of scrolls around.
Right.
I mean, you can't move on endlessly.
So it is like Bosconian. There's like a big square, and you're seeing a little rectangle in that bigger square.
Yeah, but the square is not that big.
Okay.
So when you see your little square, it's probably like no more than a quarter of the screen.
I challenged somebody to figure out how to do Omega Race on the iPhone.
What was Omega Race?
Omega Race was the one where it was like you know, you were flying around. It was a vector game. And you were flying around within the playfield, which was just the screen. And there were bumpers around the outside. And remember, you'd like bounce off of them. And your shots would bounce off them.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah,
that was a hard game. But
anyway. Well, this game is great. And I actually want you to download it. It's 99 cents.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And
in for a dollar.
It's gotten some like kind of poor reviews. I mean, the reviews aren't bad overall. But like people complaining about like the controls. But I've never had it better with controls using either.
Right. You know, it's funny because you talking about the accelerometer controls reminds me of something that I just read the other day on Gizmodo. They were somebody, I forget who it was. I think it was Jesus, who was talking about how he doesn't understand why everyone's all gaga over the concept of an Apple tablet, because tablets in general are like a sucky idea.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you know, think about how hard it is to control stuff on the iPhone. He goes, well, this is just a bigger version of that. You know, and it's like you have to think about, well, how do you hold a tablet so that it's easy to read and easy to type on if you're using like a virtual keyboard? You know, because you're not going to, because it's too big for you to use your thumbs like you do on the iPhone. So if you lay it.
Do you use your thumbs? That's how you type
on
the iPhone?
No, but a lot of people do. I usually hold it with one hand and type with one finger.
Yeah, that's what I do.
But a lot of people do type with their thumbs. I think my thumbs are just too big for that. Apparently, there's a lot of iPhone users that have like needle thumbs or something. I don't know. But you know, if you think about it, if you lay a tablet down flat on the table and then you're typing on it, you can't see it very well.
Right.
Unless you're like, you know, lording over it like Snoopy playing the vulture.
Unless it has a little like stand that
built in
folds out of it.
Yeah, but even then, it's like, you know, like he said, there's a reason that a laptop has a screen that's angled so that you can adjust that to make it work right. But, I mean, they don't usually not think about stuff like that. I will give them that at Apple. So hopefully they've, you know, done it in a way that's going to make sense.
Right.
But I personally do not like any of the accelerometer game stuff.
No, there's very few, you know.
It bugs me.
Very few I've had success with.
Yeah. And I don't really have much in the way of other miscellaneous game news. The only thing is I want to remind people that the closed beta 5 for Ion Online is going to start on Friday at noon PST and will go through the following Monday, also at noon PST. And again, if you want to get in on that, all you have to do is go down to your local store that sells video games and buy the pre-order pack for $5, and you'll have your closed beta key that comes along with that. And that's all I got for video games. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about television. I don't have a lot this week. You know, summer is really tough for me. Well, first of all, you know, we got the little one at home.
Mm-hmm.
And
the crutch.
That's terrible.
That is terrible.
He just wants to play outside all the time. So let him.
Then he can watch TV. What's the problem?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this week's show called Guess Who Doesn't Have Children? No prizes for this one. It's a little too easy. It's hard. And then by the time he goes to bed, because he goes to bed late. So then a lot of times we're just too tired to watch anything. But
why does he go to bed? What time is late?
Well, for a 15-month-old, 9.
Really? He goes to bed that late?
Yeah. He doesn't like to sleep. He's like me. He doesn't like to sleep.
Encouraging that is probably.
I don't encourage it. I want him to go to bed. We try to start, we start trying to get him to go to sleep at like 7:30, but it's generally pretty fruitless. So he goes to bed pretty late.
So he already pretty much calls the shots is what you're saying.
Oh, totally. Totally. There isn't a room in the house without his stuff in it. And then he wakes up at like 7. So, he really does not like to sleep. But anyway, so what about you? What have you seen?
You haven't seen True Blood, right?
Right, no, so we can't talk
kill
about
you.
It. Sorry.
This was the best episode of the season so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Even better than three weeks ago?
Yes.
Wow. I find that hard to believe because
I
was...
I know how you are.
Okay, no, please don't.
But
now, well, I'm looking forward to it now.
Damn you to hell.
Wow.
Let's just say that a lot of stuff they address.
So your
complaint
from
last week
has been
I take it back.
It's moot.
Yeah,
it is now moot. Well, that's good. That's good because I don't like that either, and especially Marianne. Everything with Marianne has been dragging on too long.
Yeah.
So
I won't say a word.
Okay. Do they explain why that guy follows her around? Her butler.
No.
He must be getting paid an awful lot. Either that, or he just loves fruit. One of the two.
But what's really weird is, they always show, whenever she's around having a party, they show everyone having sex. But that poor guy's not getting any.
No, he's not getting, he might be a eunuch.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what
Linux.
His story is. Or what?
A Linux.
What's a Linux?
That was a Unix Linux joke. Sorry. Oh,
that was way out of my nerdy wheelhouse. Another show that I caught this week. It started last week, and I just caught the first episode. I haven't seen.
And I'm glad you used the word caught, because to me, this does sound somewhat like a disease.
There's a new reality show, dating show, called Dating in the Dark.
Yeah.
And,
so you didn't watch More to Love?
No. No. Come on, I have some standards. So Dating in the Dark.
That's mean.
They take... it's ironic because I'm about to talk about this piece of crap.
Right, exactly.
Which is highly engrossing.
Okay.
they take three women and three men, and they move them into a house. Now, first of all, three women and three men, their plan is to match them. And they take like a profile of each of them, and they pick a woman for each of the men or a man for each of the women to, their goal is to match them because they're most
compatible.
Suitable.
Right.
Yeah. At first they just introduced, it's just kind of like a party. They introduce the three to the three, and they don't know who they're going to be matched with.
But they can't see anyone,
well, that's
right?
The thing. They both live in the house and different ends of the house, but then they meet, like, I suppose in the middle in this, like, dark room, and that's where all the meeting happens.
Oh, so they're not in the dark when they're away from each other.
No.
Oh. Yeah, that would be, like, some kind of weird sensory deprivation thing that could probably cause
a
lawsuit.
No, the men know each other and bond with each other.
Oh, okay.
And actually, it's kind of cool because you hear them like talking to each other about their dates and about, they kind of confide in each other.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Couldn't Joe tell Sally that Bob is hideous?
No, the men don't ever see the women and vice versa until the end.
Right. Wait, they don't even talk?
No, they talk. But well, how would Bob know that Sally is hideous?
No, Bob tells Sally that Joe is hideous.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Why couldn't
they
Bob say, you know what,
that.
You're not going to like him.
There must be some ground rules where they can't do that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose if they're always on camera, they'd get caught.
Right.
Yeah. I would try to slip someone a note or something.
Well, what's really funny, on one of the dates, the guy decides that, he's a big fan of golf. So he sets up. He decides that their date will be like putting.
Okay.
Now keep in mind, they're in the dark.
How does that work?
Well, he put a glass against the wall, and then they put the ball, and you hear the clink of the glass, like, it was stupid. Most of the show was stupid.
How is it that this guy has this all set up? Has he dated people in the dark before?
I don't know. No, we get to see it because there's like infrared.
Right.
So we get to see it. But it's a lot of like, you know, they do a lot of touching and kissing.
Well,
I'll
hopefully
say.
None of the contestants is from the home planet of the Predator, because then they would have an advantage, obviously.
Well, judging by some of these people, they may be.
There are a lot of dreadlocks.
Just nuts, you know, just
unsavory.
Let's just say of these six people, I would have deemed two of them attractive. And that, I'm saying attractive.
Right.
So
not
now,
hot.
The whole purpose of the show is
right,
for
to get people
to
like each other.
Just for who they are right. And not for what they look like.
Now, this is a series?
Yes.
Yeah. Because to me, it sounds like somebody's taken the concept of the dating game and stretched it out over an entire series.
Right.
You take
but
a half an hour.
We get to see every stage of it.
You take a half an hour and you stretch it out to 22 hours. Or whatever.
No,
however.
It's just an hour. It's three new people. It's six new people every episode.
Oh, okay. I thought it was
are you kidding? Who would stick around for
that? That's what I'm wondering.
No, you want the payoff somewhat quickly.
Oh, okay.
So at the end of every show is the reveal.
Well, that's not so bad.
So here's the thing. So they do the reveal, and what's great about it, I mean, here's what I love about this show. When the guy sees the girl, like, they don't just flip on the lights.
Sure.
The guy sees the girl, but the guy's still in the dark. So the girl can't see his reaction and vice versa. But we get to see their reaction.
That's awesome.
That's what I love. So then they see each other. They don't know their reactions.
Right.
So they don't know how the other took to them. So then they have to decide if they want to go out with them again. And how they show that is they meet on the balcony. But here's the thing. So suppose Bob, you know, wants to see Sally again. He goes out on the balcony and waits for Sally. But if Sally doesn't want to see him, then Bob can see her leaving downstairs off the balcony.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love it.
That's awesome.
It's
and does
terrible.
That happen a lot?
Of the three couples, one of the couples, the girl,
like, took off.
She took off, and he saw. And actually, it was a little heartbreaking, but very entertaining.
Now, at lunch, we were talking about the whole concept of the generalization about how women are more inclined to be attracted to a man based on his personality and his character, whereas men are more focused, at least initially, on looks.
Right.
Now, doesn't that smack in the face of that whole idea? Because the chick took off.
Yeah, but you kind of sense when you first met her that she was that type.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, are any of the people, like, hot?
No.
Or they,
not in that episode.
Okay.
No. She was probably, actually, the one who left was probably the most attractive of all six.
Well, sure. That's why she left.
Right. But what's funny is through the whole episode,
she stuck up.
She was kind of into the guy that she picked. And I mean, before she had seen
him.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's why she's a horrible, awful person.
Well, that's the way they portrayed her in the show.
Hey, she made her own bed. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that I really saw this week was I watched an episode of that show you told me about called The Stagers, where, you know, the people go in and they stage a home to make it more
saleable.
Sure. And it was pretty cool. I mean, it was really cool because the on this episode, at least, and I will say I like the fact that it's only half an hour, because I think if you made it longer than that, it would get really boring.
Right.
But the home that they had to work with was a condo that was really tiny. It had two bedrooms. It had one triangle shaped room that was the living room, dining room, kitchen, and then the two bedrooms. And they really did make it look very appealing by the end of it. And it was cool the process they went through. I mean, some of the quote-unquote drama that came up was kind of like not really
dramatic.
Well, I don't
think that show's not really meant for drama.
No.
I mean, it's more...
No, but there's always that element there that's like, oh, you know, what if the chair doesn't get here on time? It's like, well, who cares? It's not my house. I don't care. I don't care if the guy sells it. You know what I mean? But that's a cool show.
Yeah.
I might have to start watching more stuff on HGTV because I've heard about a lot of cool shows on there, like ones about crazy homes and...
Oh yeah, there's some
and
great
stuff
ones.
Like that, and
they really show a lot of them on Saturday and Sunday.
You know, I just remembered that I sent something to Marty about that architect. He never wrote back to me. What's up with that?
I don't know. I'll ask.
Okay, find out about that. No, I want to make sure he got it now. But anyway, so that's really the only thing I saw. But it was cool. That's a good show. That's a good show.
It is.
I like that. It's enjoy. You know, it's just like a watch it and you're done.
Right.
Which is nice. You need
But
those
I mean, you get some, you know, as far as like design sense, you get some. I mean, it's educational.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I was curious about, though, like there was this thing that they did where they took, you know, basic picture frame type of things and they stretched fabric over them and stapled it and they made these panels And I was just wondering, well, do they do that like in every episode? Or are they always using panels?
No.
You know what I mean? Oh, okay.
No, actually, they, you know, this artwork is on loan. So some of the artwork they get in there is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then there was some stuff I couldn't figure out. Like, there was a warehouse they kept going to get stuff to take to the place, and I couldn't figure out if that was their warehouse or if that was a place that they rent stuff from.
I think it's a place they rent stuff from. You know, this most of those take place in Canada, I want to say.
Yeah. Remember, we refer to it as Canada on this show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
As do a lot of HGTV shows. Actually, I just met someone who was here doing a segment for a show that's based out of Canada.
Yeah.
For HGTV.
Well, do you know what the show was?
I don't remember.
Oh.
Something home related. Oh, something about green
really
homes.
On HGTV?
Well, something about green homes, like making your home greener. And they came here to see someone whose entire home was solar in the city, which
oh,
is,
okay.
You know,
unusual.
Odd. Yeah.
Yeah. I every once in a while, you know, I look at stuff online, real estate stuff online, and I was looking at some stuff in Florida recently, and it looked from the Google Maps satellite view like a lot of homes there have solar panels on the roof, and I couldn't tell if that's what that was or if, you know, but I always wonder, like, what is that funneling into? You know, what are you actually, how much power are you getting out of that, and what is it actually powering?
Right.
Because, I mean, it's like three or four panels on the roof. I don't know how much good that does, but I don't know.
Well, you know, the government actually will help
subsidize that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, even if it does a little,
yeah,
probably what you put out for it isn't that much. So, I mean, it just works in your favor anyway.
One of my friends from middle school and high school lives in Canada now, Canada. And he's doing some pilot program where his entire house is going to be solar. And in fact, now I can't remember. Is it solar or is it wind? Well, it's one of the two. And in fact, he's selling the power to the utility company.
Wow.
And then buying it back at a cheaper rate. So he basically gets his power for free and the excess goes to the utility company. It's some trial program that they're doing right up there, but it sounded really cool.
That is cool.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was his house that they were doing the show on?
Yeah.
That'd be weird. I should ask him. You should ask him if they're going to be featured on television. Do you have anything else that you watched?
Nope.
Okay. A bunch of miscellaneous TV news. If you are a fan of Chuck like I am, and you miss all your friends from the Buy More, etc., you can watch the Chuck panel from Comic-Con. It's on pause.com, so you can head over there and watch the entire thing. It was made available by Hulu, which I think is really cool. Now, I haven't watched the whole thing, but I watched some of it, and it was kind of funny so far, so check that out. Padma Lakshmi, as we said, is going to have a sitcom, but she's going to stay on Top Chef and stay as the host, and she's only going to have a recurring role on the sitcom. She's one of an ensemble
That's
cast.
Already not saying a lot for the sitcom.
Well, from what's
standpoint. Well, in that she's like, oh, I'm not going to lose my Sure gig on this piece of junk show I'm about to tape.
Well, you know, it was really funny because when I was reading the information about this, I almost got the sense like maybe she is thinking about leaving Top Chef at some point, and this whole thing was a mistake, letting people know about the sitcom. Like, it almost sounded like backpedaling. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, she'd be stupid to, like, just all of a sudden, like, put all her eggs in that basket.
Well, sure. When she's got a
good
gig.
We know how many of those shows really make it. Not many.
Right. Most sitcoms are terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, most sitcoms are terrible.
But that still doesn't say whether they'll make it or not. Look at how many terrible sitcoms are, like, the top sitcoms.
Yeah.
I go back to Three and a Half Men. Well, actually, that was just canceled. But
yeah. It was on for 10 years,
though.
No,
that's true.
I mean, that's ridiculous. And I like Jim Belushi.
Gary Unmarried? How did that get renewed?
I don't even know what that is.
Jay Moore.
Really?
I want Jay Less.
Oh, that's mean. Do you remember Alexis Cohen?
Yeah, just because they showed the clips.
Okay, so Alexis Cohen is a girl who has tried out for American Idol the last few years. I believe she's actually tried out every year, but they've focused on her the last couple of years. She was the one who was tall, skinny, curly, red-haired girl from New York, and she got mad at Simon and was like flipping him off. Not that that's unusual, but she had a really kind of raspy voice, very Janis Joplin-y. And, you know, she was fairly prominently featured both of the last seasons. Well, the other day, some guy named Daniel Bark was in an accident, and he drove away from the scene of the accident, and while fleeing that accident, ran over and killed Alexis Cohen.
Wow.
And then fled the scene of that accident.
And so obviously, by you having his name, he's been caught.
Well, yeah, and he's been arrested and is on suicide watch because he like can't deal with the fact that he killed somebody.
Right.
But then you know,
who is so talented?
Right. Maybe maybe. In this context, isn't that just a little mean?
Okay.
You know, maybe maybe fleeing the scene of an accident is not the best idea then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm glad you've gotten something out of this story.
Well, I'm just saying it seems a little bit ridiculous that. That, you know, he would kill somebody while fleeing another accident right. that he was in.
Right. But we anyway, get it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying. Jamie Bamber from Battlestar Galactica will be in Dollhouse's season 2 opener as somebody heavily involved in one of Echo's engagements. Apparently this is just going to be a big reunion for Battlestar Galactica people because, of course, Tom O'Pennicott is one of the main stars of that show. So there's that. Did that person leave?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I can't see.
People just like walk in here while we're doing the show and then they just stare at us. And they're all salespeople. It's like, what am I going to do? Stop in the middle of the show and buy a copier from you? Morons.
At least you'd have that documented in case anything ever went wrong.
Yeah. What if I copy me giving them the finger and send them packing with that? Dominic Monaghan and Gabrielle Union are joining the cast of Flash Forward. So that should be cool. Dominic Monaghan, glad he's still getting work.
That's Charlie from
Lost. That would be Charlie from Lost. That's correct. Stargate Universe officially premieres on October 2nd. Moon Bloodgood, Jesse Schramm, Seychelle Gabriel, and Maxim Knight are joining Noah Wiley on TNT's as-yet-unnamed Spielberg-produced Alien Invasion pilot. I hope they give that a name soon so that we can actually start referring to it by name. But, you know, anytime Spielberg does anything with aliens, I get very excited. And then every once in a while he does something like War of the Worlds, and I get very unexcited.
Or AI.
You know, AI, I don't think was a terrible movie.
I do.
But I don't think it was very exciting. You think it was terrible?
Yeah.
You don't think there was anything good about it? I think there was good stuff about it. I just don't think it was exciting.
There was some good stuff.
It was kind of boring.
The first 45 minutes I liked. When it gets to the land of forgotten toys or whatever.
Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
If you're going to make a joke, get the reference right. Okay, pal? Do I need to sing the song?
No, please don't.
Okay. Maybe that'll be my thing that I hum while you're looking up stuff. Are you talking about that carnival scene where they were like ripping apart the robots?
Right.
Yeah, I hated that. I hated that. Yeah. Plus, the movie was too long. And the woman...
And the whole, like, you know, then 2,000 years in the future or whatever.
No, I like that ending. I thought that was pretty cool, actually.
Here's what I appreciate about that. You know, this was an idea of Stanley Kubrick, so it was very reminiscent of something Kubrick did with 2001. And so I know you're not a fan, but
no, I'm not a fan of 2001. Top Gear may be coming to BBC America in HD, which would be really, really cool because everything's better in HD. Okay. Speaking of which, what is it with ABC not showing The Bachelorette in HD? Now, I don't watch that show, but come on. That's another one of those shows that costs nothing, basically, and it's not in HD. It's not even widescreen. What's up with that? Cheapskates. So,
there's a lot of shows that are in HD. Big Brother's not in HD either.
That's stupid.
Survivor, this last season was like their first one.
I don't know if these
HD.
People know, but you can go to Best Buy and get an HD camera for like $200.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Okay. I mean, I know some of it.
And I'm not saying that you can shoot a TV show on a $200 camera, right. But you're talking about Big Brother that has basically black and white cheap-ass security cameras all over the home. I mean, I know they have other things, too.
Right. But they have, like, you know, 50 cameras all over.
Okay, fine.
If
200
not more.
Bucks a pop, what is that, 10 grand? Like, they can't spend 10 grand on cameras? Yeah. Give me a break.
I don't know.
What were you going to say, though? Here's the thing.
Nothing.
There was no thing, was there? There never was a thing, was there?
That was my thing, and you just dispelled it.
Okay. Do you have anything else for TV?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. All right, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. You just remembered something for TV, right?
Yeah. Actually, Defying Gravity, the new show with Ron Livingston, the new, like, kind of sci-fi meets... Well, it's from the makers of Grey's Anatomy, so I don't know how.
Well, it's not going to be a doctor show, though, right? In space?
No, but I'm sure it'll have that soapy element to it.
Oh.
But that premieres on August 2nd.
Sunday.
Yes.
Mark it down in your calendars, folks.
2-hour premiere.
New sci-fi. I'm so
but
glad
actually,
that
the preview looks really good. But it does look, there's a lot of like kissing and sex and romance and like, so.
Is that stuff icky?
No, but I'm sure it's going to have that soap opera element
right,
to it.
Soap vibe. Yeah, I'm just glad that sci-fi is as accepted as it is these days. Because we always get new sci-fi stuff now, and there was a long time when that was not the case. I mean, like a decade, basically.
Right.
So it's cool. It's all good. What did you see movies-wise?
I saw something on cable.
Okay. Cable television?
Yes. I saw Lakeview Terrace.
Ooh, was it fabulous?
No, it was not. With Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
And
You mean Samuel L. Jackson?
Exactly. That's the Samuel Jackson I'm referring to. The one that feels it's necessary to yell every line.
What do you mean feels it's necessary to yell every line?
Please stop.
What do you mean stop? He didn't yell as Mace Windu.
No. No. IMDb gives it 6.3 out of 10. I think that's being a little
Would you reverse generous. Those numbers? Maybe they
but
transpose
also Patrick
the three
Wilson,
and
who I really like, from X-Men. Or, I'm sorry, not X-Men. Watchmen and Little Children.
Whoa, who was he in Watchmen?
Night Owl.
Oh, okay.
Night Owl 2.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
Yeah, I had never seen, as I'm sure I've said, I had never seen him before Watchmen, but he was good. I thought he was well cast in that role.
Yeah.
By the way, did you pick up the Watchmen Blu-ray?
No.
There's like 20 extra minutes of footage.
I know, I heard.
I got it for Amy because she had not seen the movie yet.
Did she like it?
She hasn't watched it yet. She hasn't had time. But
does she like the packaging?
Yeah, she was playing with it for like 5 minutes. Like,
like,
God, that's so cool. Because it's got like this lenticular cover and it's like a really weird,
and
funky 3D.
And because she spends all day with a 15-month-old.
So. Right, so lenticular.
Shiny bobbles now
right.
excite her as well.
Exactly.
There's not much.
And you really can't falter for that.
No, not at all. There's not really much I want to say about Lakeview Terrace. It was bad. It was completely predictable, and I'm going to talk a little about it later. But it just was.
I think we all know what that means.
I mean, you know where it's going to go, and then you're like, oh, I hope it doesn't go there, and then it goes there. And
did it take place in Chicago?
No.
Oh, so it wasn't that Lakeview?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. So you didn't like it?
That's
is what
I
you're
have.
Saying?
No. Okay. I mean, for anyone who wants the premise. This couple moves into a neighborhood and they move next to this. Well, let me point out the end because it's important to the story. The couple, Patrick Wilson is white and his wife is black, and they move next to Samuel Jackson.
Who plays the wife?
Kerry Washington.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you what she's from? She was in Ray. Yes. I know that.
I probably would recognize her if I saw her, but I don't know her by name.
She was on Boston Legal for a while and. Last King of Scotland, Fantastic Four, also known as Fantastic Four in Germany. So, in case you were confused,
right? I couldn't figure out what that meant.
But it's this couple who moves in next to Samuel Jackson, who's a cop, and they just immediately don't get along. So because he's a cop, he kind of picks on them, but there's nothing they can do.
Sure, because he's a cop,
and then mayhem ensues.
Sure. Yeah, it sounds exactly like what you'd expect it to be like.
Right.
Yeah. The only thing that I saw was we had the opportunity to go see a movie again on Saturday, and even though there wasn't really anything new out that we wanted to see, Amy hadn't seen Transformers 2, so we went to see that. And I have to say, I actually enjoyed it more seeing it the second time than I did the first time, because I had already seen it, so there was nothing really to be let down by.
Right.
And I actually laughed at a lot of the places in the film that I didn't laugh at the first time. And it helped seeing it with her because, you know, we have exactly the same sense of humor for the most part. So so there was a lot of stuff that we laughed at together. But it also helped, too, because it was in a smaller theater because it's been out for a while and it was packed. So I think that was, you know, a good thing. I mean, we saw it at a midnight show and that was packed, too, when I originally saw it. But I don't know. Maybe that crowd was just sleepy or something. I don't know. I had more fun with it this time. There were actually some pretty funny moments. I will say that.
I'm not going to see it.
No. I didn't think you would.
Wait, did you want to talk about something?
No, not now.
Oh. Oops. All right. Well, moving on. We have some miscellaneous, don't
That's
we?
That's right. Joe Johnston's The Wolfman is now getting pushed back from November 6th. To February 12th of next year. That is like, isn't that the quintessential at this point movie hell movie? Hasn't it been delayed like a million times?
I don't know. I don't remember what this was. And I know we've spoken about it. Wait, this is the theme to Cannonball Run?
Yeah. Sure is. By, who's the guy who did Feel So Good, the trumpet song?
Chuck Mangione.
Chuck Mangione did the theme song for Cannonball Run.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the one with Benicio Del Toro, Emily Blunt, Anthony Hopkins, Hugo Weaving.
Right. And it just keeps getting pushed back, and there's been a lot of scuttlebutt that it's been a, you know, super troubled production pretty much from the get-go. And, you know, part of that is, does anyone really want to see all these, you know, classic monster movies remade?
Oh, this is just a remake of...
I assume so.
Yeah,
it's called The Wolfman.
Even judging by the poster.
Yeah. So, you know, and a lot of that stuff could be really cool. I mean, think about how cool it could be to see, like, a cool Frankenstein movie, like, right. done now. But it's just, at the same point, it's like those stories are so simple.
And we're not referring to the Robert De Niro version.
No. And those movies are so simple that, you know, you'd have to redo them a fair amount to get right. them to be interesting to today's audiences.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But I guess we'll find out on February 12th, unless it gets pushed back again.
Okay, wait. I see the next thing,
yeah.
and I have not heard this, and there's absolutely no way.
Okay. The rumor is...
I don't buy this for a second.
The rumor is that Miley Cyrus will play Batgirl in the next Batman movie.
Absolutely not. Where did you hear this rumor?
It was on, you know, one of the, like, HitFix movie news or cinema something or whatever. I don't know.
Now, let me get this straight. Christopher Nolan.
Right.
That's his name, right?
Sure.
You really think he would, like, stunt cast? Absolutely not. I don't think he'll even do Batgirl. Because he said he won't do Robin.
Yeah.
You think he'll do Batgirl? I mean, Batgirl is just as campy as Robin is.
Well, how does that get decided, by the way? Because it's only campy if you make it campy.
No, there's no way to do Robin and not do him campy. Like, okay, maybe campy's not the word, but...
Cheesy.
Cheesy. That's
because I mean
word.
any of these characters could be cheesy if they're done wrong. I mean, Batman could be cheesy, and Batman has been cheesy.
Not in this go around.
No. But that's what I'm saying. If the same people do it and they do it well, what difference does it make which characters they put in? You get
well,
good writers and good
said,
directors.
Yeah, but he himself has said that there are certain characters. He said he wouldn't do the Penguin either because
yeah.
the Penguin there's really not a way
yeah,
to
now
do
the Penguin
that.
I could totally see. But Batgirl, I wouldn't think would be as cheesy only because there's nothing inherent with Batgirl like there is with the Penguin that would automatically make her cheesy. I mean, you got Two-Face, you've had the Joker, you've had the Scarecrow, you've had the, what's his name?
Ra's
al Ghul.
Oh, yeah.
No, Heath Ledger.
The Joker, you said that.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, right. So, you know what I mean? It's like you can make them good if you make them good.
Right. Well, I mean, if you give it a realistic element and take, you know.
Right. Now, I'm not into Batman enough to know, to remember this, but who, is she like Commissioner Gordon's daughter or something? Or is that Catwoman?
The original Batgirl was Commissioner Gordon's daughter, but in the last go-around, the Joel Schumacher fiascos, she was Alfred's niece, I want to say.
Oh, that's right. When she was played by Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm just saying.
Let's move on because okay. that gives me
that's
a,
upsetting to you. Apparently.
Gives me a headache that pierces my temples.
Okay, so now we've had the rumor. Now it's onto the drama. Bryce Dallas Howard replaces Rachelle Lefevre in the Twilight Saga Eclipse. Why is this dramatic? Don't actors bow out of movies all the time for scheduling conflicts?
I got to see who Rachelle Lefevre is. Well, you know what? She looks just like Bryce Dallas Howard. So
does she really?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not a picture of Bryce Dallas Howard about this issue?
Yeah, I'm on her IMDb page.
Oh, okay. That's weird. Do you think Bryce Dallas Howard is attractive?
I think she can be.
Yeah.
She's very mannish.
She can be. I thought in...
Spider-Man, she was. Spider-Man 3.
I don't even remember her from that. I was going
to
say...
She was the girl... She was like the reporter that he was kind of like wooing to make MJ...
Yeah.
jealous.
Was that before or after the Saturday Night Fever
That's
dance
during
sequence?
The Saturday Night Fever okay. dance. Yeah, she was the
I'd
one
have to go back and
with.
See that again, which I'm somewhat loath to do.
She was in a movie that a lot of people hated, but I actually liked. I mean, it's the first thing I remember from was The Village. And
I was just
going to
say,
her.
I thought she was pretty decent looking yeah. in there, too. Very, like, natural girl
I liked
next
that
door.
Movie.
You know why I didn't like it? Because it was another punchline movie.
Oh, I think we discussed that. And I knew.
Right. I guessed it. I mean, it wasn't. I wasn't surprised by it.
Right.
And there were other elements of that movie that I really liked, though. But I didn't get the payoff, so it wasn't as good right. for me.
There was no money shot for you.
This is a family show.
I know, but
okay.
I don't know why you went
Lori,
there.
Lori, this show is now not child friendly. Just so you know. Universal has updated their release schedule for the next year, including The Fourth Kind with Mila Jovovich on November 6th. Can you look that up? Because is that alien related or sci-fi or something? Because if it is, I'm very excited about that. And I have this, you know, I guess you could call Mila Jovovich a guilty pleasure in a sense, even though I don't believe in guilty pleasures.
Okay,
but,
I typed in The Fourth Kind.
Yeah.
And it somehow went to a 1975 movie called Wham Bam Thank You Spaceman.
Excellent.
I'm not lying to you.
Just look up Mila Jovovich then. I like her.
I do too.
I think she's very interesting to watch. And not just because she's, you know, pretty. I think she's got a very good presence.
Oh, that's why, because it's four with a number and not.
The new one or the old one?
There's no information. Oh, fact-based thriller involving an ongoing unsolved mystery in Alaska, where one town has seen an extraordinary number of unexplained disappearances during the past 40 years, there are accusations of a federal cover-up.
Ooh, well, that could be interesting. We'll see, I guess. Okay,
and it's got
then,
one of my favorite character actors, Elias Koteas.
Oh, I like him. Yeah, he's a good one. Best line of his from a movie ever? This is what my girlfriend would look like without skin.
I knew you were going there, too.
Okay, then It's Complicated, which comes out on Christmas, which is some new rom-com. The Wolfman, which we already discussed, and then Paul Greengrass's Green Zone with Matt Damon. Paul Greengrass and Matt Damon hooking up again after the Bourne movies. The two sequels, I should say.
Right.
Do you know anything about that, Green
No.
Zone, what that is?
No. Okay.
You don't look like you have any interest in looking it up
No,
either.
We've got a lot of stuff to cover.
Okay, you know what? This is what we do.
I know.
So look up the Green Zone, or Green Zone. Just see what it's about.
Well,
it's complicated. We don't have to look up It's Complicated because I said it's a romantic comedy, so you already know what it's about.
Right.
It's about people who might not get together and then they do.
I got nothing out of the Green Zone.
Just Green Zone. No, the. There's nothing? Did you look up Paul Greengrass or Matt Damon?
No.
You always go about this backwards.
I got it. A thriller about a pair of CIA agents on the trail of certain weapons of mass destruction and a foreign correspondent following their mission.
Okay. There you go. That's all we need to know. So that's coming on March 12th of next year. And then you got MacGruber based on the SNL skit.
Stupid SNL skit.
On April 16th. And then Untitled Robin Hood Adventure. I don't know if that's the actual name of the movie or if it is, in fact, an Untitled Robin Hood Adventure. That comes on May 14th. Get Him to the Greek on June 11th. I have no idea what that is. And that one I don't care if you look up. But you can if you want. Hey, and then Despicable Me on July 9th, and that's it.
A record company is hired to accompany out-of-control British rock star, starring Russell Brand.
Oh, I'm in.
To a concert at LA's Greek Theater.
I'm in.
It stars. Oh, actually, this looks like it'll be pretty funny.
Well, you said Russell Brand.
Oh, it's written by Jason Segel and Nicholas Stoller.
Oh, my God. Totally there.
Yeah. Jonah Hill, Rose Byrne, Russell Brand, Elizabeth Moss, Katy Perry, Christina Aguilera.
Rose Byrne. What do I know her from?
There's a lot of like Pink, P. Diddy.
Wait, what's Rose Byrne from? I know she was in one of the Star Wars movies, right? Oh, she was in... What was she in more recently? Was she in...
She was in one of the Star Wars
movies. She in Push?
She's in Knowing.
Push or Pusher or whatever?
You saw Knowing, right?
No. No, although
She's
Amy wants
Sunshine.
To see that. Sunshine. Something else.
Marie Antoinette.
Was she
girl.
In Push or Pusher?
Troy.
Oh, okay.
Push or Pusher.
No, nothing?
No, I got nothing on that.
Okay, I'm picturing the wrong person in my head. But I think I like her. That's going to be great then. Leocarpo DiNardio, as I like to call him, is producing a reboot of The Twilight Zone to be written by Rand Ravitch. I don't know who that is, but I almost think The Twilight Zone, if you're going to do anything with that, that it should not be written by one person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have a bunch of different people write it and have a bunch of different people direct it.
Yep.
Don't you think that's a more fun thing to do?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, I don't understand why that has not been able to make it again as a TV show, because that's a great concept.
And especially now when you're...
there's so much cool stuff that you could do with it.
Yeah.
You know, but then again...
I mean, because it's really how we like our... look at how much of that is in the shows that we like right
now. Exactly, just weirdness.
Right.
Just general weirdness. But I guess, you know, maybe part of the problem too is the whole thing that we always complain about with all the remakes and reboots and stuff is like, well, will they have enough ideas to fuel an entire series? Because you can pick and choose three or four little ideas to make a movie.
Right.
But if you do a series, you got to have at least, you know, a couple dozen ideas right out of the gate.
So who says it has to be a full run, like 22 episode series?
Because I don't like the shorties.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Gary Oldman let slip that the next Batman movie will shoot next year for a 2011 release with Miley Cyrus. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that part, but he did say the scheduling part. You can finally see last year's Tron teaser online. If you go to pause.com, you can find the link there. It's the same one that they showed last year, but remember last year, the only way you could see it is in that little bootleg video that somebody had, you know, sneak shot a capture of.
It's really cool.
It is very cool. There's something about, it's very well done, because there's something about not only the whole inside the computer part, but when they get back to the real world and you see Jeff Bridges and the way that he shot and the music and everything, it works really, really well. And it gives me very high hopes for, you know, what Tron Legacy, which is now the official title, could be. I think it could be great. The voice of Barbie's perpetual boy toy Ken will be performed by Michael Keaton in Toy Story 3, which is slated to hit on June 18th of next year. That could be good. I love Toy Story 2. Avatar's official website is up at avatarmovie.com. I have not visited because
I'm here right now and there's nothing on it.
There's
nothing.
Okay. Don't say anything.
It tells you Avatar Day. Be the first to experience scenes from James. Well, on August 21st, in select 3D theaters, you can see clips.
Yeah, I don't think I want to. You know what I mean? I just want to wait.
You got that weirdness about you.
Yeah, I do have that. Spirit Pictures is going to do a King Kong prequel based on the book Kong, King of Skull Island, that details how Kong came to be the King of Skull Island, I guess.
Oh, that might be good.
It could be. It's going to focus on other giant apes and dinosaurs and stuff like that that were only kind of peripherally mentioned in, you know, the original King Kong story.
Speaking of King Kong...
Made using motion capture technology, which for something like Gollum makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
How does that make sense with King Kong? Well, I guess they did that in the Peter Jackson one, right? Didn't the same guy who played Gollum, didn't he do the motion capture for Kong? Okay.
But now,
Spirit Pictures, that's not Peter Jackson's company, is it?
I don't know.
No, that's Weta, right? Or is that just his effects company?
What should I think I should be?
It's a little too manic. For the humming song.
You know what? I'm just finding ghost pictures and spirit photos. Never mind.
Did you look up spirit pictures on IMDb?
No.
Yeah.
I'm off.
That would have been a little too logical.
I've already left there. I don't want to go all the way back.
So anyway, what were you going to say, speaking of King Kong?
Have you seen that they started doing those DirecTV commercials again where they take like an older movie and you think you're about to see a clip from that movie and then they're talking about DirecTV? Remember the one with Aliens with Sigourney Weaver?
No.
Come on. All the DirecTV commercials.
I don't remember them. I don't know what you're talking about.
Where they take like a clip of a movie.
Okay.
And then you think you're about to see a clip of a movie, and then all of a sudden the character breaks and they turn around and they talk to the TV about getting DirecTV.
I have never seen any of those.
Yes, you have.
I have?
Yeah. There's a ton.
Anyway,
so they stopped making them for a couple of years, and now they have a new one with Naomi Watts. But what's really cool how they make, like I was reading about how they make those, because the Sigourney Weaver one, I mean, it was just a few years ago and it was her and Alien.
Right.
So they actually had to, like, there's a lot of CG they had to use to make it look like Sigourney Weaver then.
Back then, right.
But actually when she's talking, it's Sigourney Weaver now. So they had to, like,
That's really cool.
I can't believe you haven't seen. There was a whole bunch of them. Like, I think there was a Field of Dreams one. And
well, see, I have DirecTV, so maybe they don't run those same commercials on DirecTV.
They just show them on national TV.
Those are replaced in different markets.
Really?
Yeah.
So if I'm watching something on Comcast, you're already something on DirecTV. We have, if we're watching,
you could be
okay,
seeing different
during
commercials.
The day. I understand that
you could be seeing like, for instance, I did some commercials for Gerber Collision Glass TV commercials, right? That people saw during, what was the who's the new host of the Late Show? Conan, yeah. Right? Okay. So during the premiere of Conan, but only in Chicago.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, because I have Comcast and you have DirecTV and we're both watching.
Right, because DirecTV has their own ad blocks that they can sell.
Wow, that's interesting. There's one for Hellboy. There's one for Back to the Future with Christopher Lloyd. Okay. I've never seen any of these.
Yeah, the Back to the Future one, maybe I don't know.
The Aliens one is probably the coolest one.
Yeah. I'll have to look them up. Are they on Hulu or something? Or are they on DirecTV?
YouTube. Some of them are on YouTube.
Okay. I'll go look at them. That sounds cool, though. How's the one with Naomi Watts, the King Kong one? Is it good?
It's good. Yeah. That's what
I forget. Yeah. Did you like that movie?
I did. Yeah.
Well, it was great because it was like the relationship that you have with a dog who you really love. There was that kind of bond between her and Kong. And I thought there was a lot of emotion in that connection between them, which you would not really expect to get out of something like that. But I thought they did a nice job on that.
I have a couple more here. There's also one from Major League with Charlie Sheen. One from a Star Trek movie with William Shatner.
Now that's funny. All right, cool. You got anything else about movies?
Nope.
All right, we'll be back in a minute to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup section.
Well, moosh moosh.
I can't believe every week you're like, what? I'm supposed to do that again?
You know what it is? Because I don't usually read this before we start.
Yeah.
So I like to get, kind of a heads up on the first few. So when you're introducing it, I'm reading ahead.
You shouldn't do that. It's better if it's a surprise. Because some of the stuff you don't like, and then you're just going to have a negative attitude.
Yeah, but I'd rather be prepared with a negative attitude than for it to just abruptly come about.
No, I think it's better the other way, personally. My iPhone rant for the week is, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the little magnifier on the iPhone has been very flaky ever since they introduced cut, copy, and paste. Like, a lot of times I click into a text field to magnify it so that I can go edit something, and it just doesn't even come up.
Really?
Or else, like, the cut, copy, and paste thing comes up, but the magnifier doesn't. Or the magnifier comes up, and then as I move my finger around to move where the cursor is, it doesn't move. I've had a lot of trouble with that.
I haven't noticed that, but I don't think I've used the magnifier much.
Yeah. Go into, like, a text message.
But I'd have to actually start.
Yeah, I guess you would
message.
Have to. Yeah, you would.
That's all right.
Okay,
I'll
do it later.
I'll text you right now.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to keep going. Apple, in other Apple news, they are working with record labels to resurrect the album as a product that people want to buy versus single track sales, codenamed Cocktail. So what they're going to do is they're going to offer things like interactive booklets that include artwork and liner notes and other digital content with full album purchases that you can't get if you only buy single tracks. Do you think people are going to go for that, or do you think people just don't care?
I think people might go for that.
Think so?
Yeah. I mean, probably not as many as they want, but...
Right. Right.
By the way, I didn't have any problems with the magnifier.
But you only tried it once. You got to give it a few goes. This is not in the list, but I want to talk about the fact that I'm very happy to announce, and I wrote a whole article about this on pause.com, so you can just go read that. But Siemens has just started selling their Gigaset telephone products in the U.S. again, which is awesome because they make great stuff. So seriously, just go to pause.com, read the article that I wrote about it, and check out some of their new phones. They're the nicest design phones you'll find. So if you still use cordless phones at home and you're looking for something better than what you have right now, they make killer stuff. And they've got another cool new product out now for people who have sort of cut the cable and or cut the cord and just use cell phones at home called the Gigaset One. That's pretty cool too. So just check that out. European Windows users will now get a voting screen in Windows 7 that lets them pick which browser they want to use. So IE is not going to automatically be the default browser. There will be up to 10, and there are all sorts of, sort of rules about what will let a browser appear in that voting list or not. But they're also going to roll out the same thing to Vista and XP. So once that's rolled out, the next time somebody gets online under Vista or XP, they're going to get the voting screen then too. And PC manufacturers who sell PCs in Europe will be able to choose to include or not include IE if they want to. Now, I don't really think that's all that significant. And here's why. The people who want to use Firefox or Safari can just go download it. Right?
Right.
The people who don't know about that or who don't know that they have a choice are going to pick Internet Explorer because that's what they know. So how is this really different than what the situation is right now?
Because maybe they want to be given a choice but wouldn't know where to go.
Really?
Possibly.
You think that somebody who can't figure out how to open a browser and search for Firefox is going to want to use Firefox?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not targeting the people who already use Firefox because they already use it. They're targeting the
but
people.
But let's keep in mind, it's not users who have asked for this. It's the government.
Right.
So
but
this
my
is
point
only
is,
an answer to the government. It's not an answer to users' complaint.
Right, but my point is, it's a ridiculous thing that they're making Microsoft do. Because, again, the people who already know that they have a choice have made their choice. And the people who don't are probably not going to make that choice.
No, I agree with you.
Because it's just like the netbook thing. How the netbook sales for netbooks that have included XP have been better than those with Linux. Because people got the Linux ones because they're $50 cheaper. And they're like, well, this doesn't do any of my stuff. Where's my Windows? How come my Microsoft doesn't work? Well, those people are going to choose IE because that's what they know.
Right.
So I don't really see what this solves. Plus, I hate to have to remind everybody of this, but browsers are free. Who cares if it's included? What does Firefox not get when IE is included with Windows?
Right.
Who cares? It's free.
Right.
It's not like these companies are all selling them.
I can't even argue with you because I agree with you.
I mean, it's just such a ridiculous thing. I don't get it. But anyway. Ferrari has announced the 458 Italia, which is the replacement for the outgoing F430. It is absolutely gorgeous. Go to pause.com and check it out. Beautiful, beautiful. Even if you don't like it, even if you don't like cars, it's gorgeous. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And I'm not even a Ferrari fan. I got to be honest with you. I'm a Lamborghini guy myself. Top Gear's James May, a.k.a. Captain Slow, who also has a show on the BBC called James May's Toy Stories, plans to build a life-size two-story house out of Lego complete with working toilets. So as a big Lego fan, I wish Mr. May all the best in that endeavor. And I can't wait to see how that works out. And I just hope they seal the toilets with something because otherwise they might have some issues that we don't really want to deal with during dinner time. Kodak has announced the ZI-8, which is a $180 pocket video camera that shoots 1080p, has an SDHC card slot, better low-light shooting than its rivals, electronic stabilization, external mic jack, and face tracking. $180, and it shoots 1080p.
That's amazing.
That's insane. It'll also shoot 5-megapixel stills and will have easy uploading to both YouTube and Facebook, which is really, really cool. I don't know when it's going to be available, though. But that's awesome. I mean, I think Flip is like shaking in their boots right now because the Flip Ultra HD only shoots 720p, doesn't have
removable
a card slot,
and
is terrible in low light. Asus and Acer are suspending any new netbook releases until next year when Intel's next iteration of the Atom processor, codenamed Pine Trail M, will be available. Plus, they can just include Windows 7 on it then and everyone will be happier. Because I got to tell you, I run Windows 7 on my netbook. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Veritech has just announced the N3400 laptop. Okay, check out these specs. 13-inch screen, 3.8 pounds, aluminum shell, 2.16 gigahertz dual-core processor, 250 gig hard drive. It's only 0.4 inches thick at the thinnest point, 3 gigs of RAM, external USB DVD drive that comes with it, 3 USB ports, and Wi-Fi N and Ethernet. And Windows Vista, $799.
Wow.
So basically, it's like their version of the MacBook Air, but with a bunch more features for $800. Now, did you hear about this whole thing with the Foxconn employee who lost the iPhone?
No.
So this Foxconn is the company in China that makes the iPhone.
Okay.
Or Taiwan or wherever it is. A Foxconn employee lost an iPhone prototype and was allegedly subjected to such brutal interrogation by company security that 2 days later he killed himself.
Wow.
And so now there are all these questions about like whether or not Apple's going to continue to use Foxconn. And then I guess Foxconn security was like threatening family members and the guy's girlfriend, you know, that they shouldn't talk about it and stuff. And there's been so much public, you know, outcry about the whole thing that they have paid his family $52,600.
That's it?
Where'd the 52,600 number come from? I hope that's some, like, you know, currency conversion number.
Right. Oh, I'm sure it is.
Because that makes no sense. And another $4,385 a year for as long as one of his parents is still alive. I don't know. It's either China or Taiwan. But that's really sad. Really sad. Okay, here's another rumor. Verizon is doubling their efforts to get LTE 4G ready for a new Apple device for first quarter of next year. And that's the same time frame when both the Verizon iPhone and Apple's tablet are rumored to be released, if they're real. So that would be huge for Verizon. Because, let's face it, 3G sucks. It's way too slow.
Right.
And what's cool for Apple about this is LTE is the same version of 4G that AT&T will eventually roll out, which means that they could just make one device which would be able to be used on both Verizon and AT&T, which would be great for them. But I can't wait till 4G is ready because, again, 3G stinks. Lexicon has announced their BD30 Blu-ray player with a sub-5-second loading time.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's what you like.
Yeah. What I don't like, the price. $3,000 for a Blu-ray player.
They'll pay it.
Won't be having that. Come on, seriously. Who's going to pay $3,000 just to not have to wait 50 seconds or 5 minutes? No. I would never pay $3,000 for that. That's stupid. That's in that whole category of these people have way too much money and they don't know what to do with it. That's ridiculous. Gary Merson, often referred to as the HD guru, says the Panasonic's TCP54V10, which is a 54-inch plasma TV, is the best HD TV you can buy. It's $2,300, which is not bad for a 54-inch.
Didn't you just say that this same guy said this about a TV like 2 months ago?
I don't know, maybe.
A Samsung, I want to say it was.
Well, guess what? New stuff comes to market, the guy changes his mind.
Yeah, I'm tired. He's crying wolf.
And you know Gary Merson how?
I don't, because it's just on for this me piece talking about that you handed
yeah,
me.
There you go. And that's all I have. Do you have anything else?
No.
Okay, well then it's time, as always, for our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, your worst.
My worst would be the movie that I saw, Lakeview Terrace. And okay, let's go back to why.
That's your worst movie?
Why does Samuel Jackson have to yell? Everything.
Who's asking?
He's become the Malkovich of our age.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just not which even overacting. I can't overacting.
Which
just,
would you rather be, the John Malkovich?
I guess Pacino. He's more the Pacino of our age.
Would you rather be the Pacino of our age or the Eddie Deason of our times?
What's with you and Eddie Deason?
I don't know. I can't even remember what he looks like.
But let me tell
you. I just
you,
remember I used to make fun of him.
Let me
in
tell
movies.
You just one ridiculous but yet completely predictable part of this movie.
Okay.
And I'm ruining this. Spoiler alert.
Oh, darn.
For this movie that you shouldn't see, that you shouldn't waste your time with. But there's one part where Samuel Jackson is terrorizing them so much that there's a little local bar down the street, and him and the couple that he's terrorizing are down at this local bar, and then Samuel Jackson plans on going to the bar to be seen there while one of some guy he hired is like ripping the place apart. So
sure, so that he has an alibi.
Some like crook, like, you know, that he
street
threw
thug.
Some money at. He had them like completely destroy their place and open their drawers and pee in their clothes and like
awesome.
Yeah. So then the wife decides she's going to go home early.
Sure.
So, you know, Sam Jackson's kind of like freaking out. And so he goes and he follows her.
Okay.
And then no, wait.
Wow.
No, doesn't follow her.
No.
She goes and he calls the thug and lets him know, hey, she's on her way home. Get out of there. Get out of there.
She's on her way home. Get out of there.
Pretty much. So needless to say, he doesn't get out of there in time.
Uh-oh.
And she sees her. And then there's like a gunshot.
Is there a tussle?
Was there a gunshot? You know what? I don't remember. There's a noise. I didn't like this movie. At this point, I'd stop paying attention. So Sam Jackson runs there to get there ahead of the husband.
Sure.
And when he gets in, shoots the guy.
Shoots the thug.
The thug.
Like he's all of a sudden the hero.
Right.
Right. And then they're all friends, and that's the end of the movie.
What do you think happens? How do you think that he gets caught?
The thug lives.
No, thug dies.
Oh.
Husband finds the cell phone and sees that he called him.
Oh, okay.
Come on, it was so predictable in the movie.
Why, well, I didn't see it, and you know.
Yeah, and obviously I wasn't paying too much attention.
You just went
to
back
it
and forth so much that I didn't even remember there was a cell phone.
At this point,
I think in my mind I was picturing him calling on a payphone.
Yeah, no.
I don't know why he would do that. Do they even have payphones anymore?
Yeah, not really.
Oh, okay.
Maybe in Lakeview Terrace.
It sounds terrible, though.
Yeah.
Who were the husband and wife?
Patrick Wilson and Kerry Washington.
Oh, you said that already.
Yeah.
Okay. My worst entertainment moment of the week comes from the fact that partially the reason why I didn't get to see more TV than I did is because my wife had to watch every stupid episode of The Bachelorette. It's like, okay, first of all, that the girl who was the Bachelorette, you know, was from the last season of The Bachelor.
Right.
This girl from Canada. I can't remember her name. She's kind of boring.
I think it's with a J, like Jillian or something.
Jillian, that's her name. Uh-huh. I mean, she's kind of boring. She seems like a fine person, a nice enough individual. But there's nothing like exciting about her where you'd be like, oh my God, I'm so in love with her. You know, she's not like a super hottie. She's not like the funniest person in the entire world. She's nice, pleasant, fun-ish.
She's a bore, isn't she?
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
Is there something wrong with her face?
They're like all three. There could be, depending on your personal preference. But, you know, there were three dudes who all proposed to her. And apparently one guy was so broke up over the fact that she said no that he was like crying on the after the rose ceremony. Which, of course, my wife had to watch. So I didn't get to watch any TV the last couple of nights because there was all this Bachelorette shenanigans
going
on.
Don't you have more than one TV?
Yeah, but the shows that I like to watch, she also likes. So I don't, you know, I don't want to watch any of those without her. Plus, with DirecTV, the DVR, you can't move stuff around. And we record everything in the family room since that's our biggest TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't play stuff on
another. This is the one that's better than any other DVR that you have. Oh, no. This is your DirecTV one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are the ones I hate.
All right.
So don't try to throw that in my face.
I was trying to throw it in your face.
You should have seen he got this really snotty look on his face.
I thought I had you right there.
I'm going to get you. You didn't get anybody, man. That was me doing, I don't know, whatever. So that was my worst entertainment moment of the week. So hopefully I'm going to rectify that over the next couple of days because we're like 2 weeks behind now on Warehouse 13. We're behind on True Blood. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's something else. But anyway. Oh, I haven't seen Top Chef Masters or Chopped in the last 2 weeks.
You know what? I wonder if I think I'm a couple behind on Top Chef Masters.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So what was your best entertainment?
Well, my best would have been True Blood, but because we can't talk about it, I'll say
it. It could still be your best.
No, but because I'd like to discuss it.
Okay.
I mean, you've ruined this whole podcast by not saying it. So my best, I'm going to go with, you know how I like my morning TV? I watch the Kelly and Regis.
Yeah, Regis and Vicky Lee.
And so they're doing this thing now where they're going to have one day where Kelly hosts with some local news guy and Regis hosts with some local news girl.
Oh, so you mixing it up with the opposite sex.
Well, that's how they do that show.
Right.
There are days. Regis only does like 4 days a week, so Kelly usually does it with
He's got to get sleepy
Neil Patrick Harris or her husband or the Coop.
The Coop.
Anderson Cooper.
Do people refer to him as
the
Coop?
She refers to him as the Coop. Okay. So now they're having this contest where you can, you know, nominate your local news saints. But I think they have to be on the channel that that's on because the people that were nominated from Chicago were both on WGN. But anyway, so right now in the top five is someone that I voted for, Pat Tomasulo, who is our sports guy here in the morning. Who's very funny.
Okay.
And so they just announced this morning that he is in the top five. So the five will be on doing some kind of competition.
Wait, what
the
is this top five of what? Top five what?
Candidates to host with Kelly.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So,
am I up for that?
No.
No?
No.
You didn't vote for me?
The host with the most.
You didn't vote for me?
Beast with the least.
You know, I'll take that, actually.
No, you actually have to have some sort of news job. And I don't think this qualifies.
What is this that we're doing right here?
But anyway, so Pat Tomasulo, who actually is one of my friends on Facebook.
Okay.
Is,
do you know him personally?
No.
So this was Tony's celebrity stalker moment, actually.
Perhaps.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm happy for him. I hope he wins. So he's going to compete somehow. I don't know what the competition's going to be. But
juggling, probably.
Perhaps, and I think he'd be good at that.
Really?
You actually would like him because he's very funny and he's kind of whiny. And
he kind of lost me at sports, though.
Yeah, but he makes it enjoyable.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that whole, you know, I love the whole morning news here, the local morning news.
Well, you know,
it's like a comedy show more than it is a news show.
Now, do they show that show nationally or no?
Well, you know,
because GN is national, but I don't know what they show nationally.
I don't know.
I wouldn't think anyone would be interested in that outside of this area.
No, I would think you'd have to have the direct.
Is that a show that I should start recording and watching? Because I can't. I mean, I don't have time to watch in the morning, obviously. But.
I mean, they do a lot of fun stuff. They do a lot of like internet stuff. Like they'll show like funny viral videos. They have a different like 80s song of the day that they show like the video of in the end, and it's usually something really bad. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Now, what was Bob Sturat still on?
No.
Oh, he's not there anymore?
No.
Why did you make that face? I don't watch the show.
I'm trying to think of how long ago he was on.
Well,
he's on a completely different channel now. He's not on Channel 9.
Okay. Who are the people on the show other than the guy that you
Larry
just met?
Larry Potash. Robin Baumgarten.
Okay. Who I saw at Fogo de Chão.
Yeah.
Last time I was there.
I could see her eating there. She's very South Side.
I could see her eating there. First of all, that's not a South Side kind of place.
No, but I mean.
Does she look like somebody who would particularly enjoy a lot of meat?
Yes.
Really? Yes.
Isn't that a South Side quality of a girl here in Chicago?
No.
Come on. Someone who like would rather than having some dainty little dish. Keep in mind she's a news anchor.
Well, that's true.
Instead of having some dainty little salad,
she seems to be in
very
good shape.
She'd rather have a big brat. That's Robin Baumgarten.
A big brat? Have you ever been to Fogo de Chão?
Yeah, I know. It's steak. It's churrasco. I know. But I'm just saying, as far as like, she's not lady.
Right,
like,
right,
really
right. I see what you're saying.
Sense
I see what you're saying.
To where you would imagine like, who is another news lady here?
I don't know. All I know is I can picture one in my head and she always wears these. She's a very pretty woman, but she always wears what look like the quintessential 1982 real estate agent's outfit. Like these giant, like pastel blue lapels and pencil skirts and stuff. And it's like, why would you wear that now?
Right.
Who thinks that's a good idea?
Tracy Butler dresses that way. Is that who you're thinking of?
No. Isn't she weather?
She's weather.
No, this is an anchor. I can't remember her name. I don't really watch the news. I got to be honest with you. I don't really care about anything these people have to tell me.
Well, it's
unless
enjoyable.
There's some major event. I mean, the GN show sounds funny, but I don't think, I mean, I know Robin Baumgarten. Bob Gardner?
Paul Conrad's another one. He's been on there for years.
Yeah.
He does the weather.
Well, what happened to Bob Sturat? Why did he leave?
I heard he was on another channel. He's on Channel 5.
Is he still funny?
Yeah, but not in the sense that they are. I mean, they make fun of the things they talk about.
Yeah. Now, he was...
I mean, unless it's serious.
I know what you mean.
Like a murder or anything.
No. When we were kids, Bob Sturat was on the radio, right? And what was his deal?
He's been on the radio recently, too.
What was his deal back then? Like, what was his shtick?
I don't really remember. No.
Hmm. Anyway.
Let me just say, I went on the Bachelorette website before I started this whole long thing. Yeah. And I'm catching clips. They keep showing clips. I have the sound down.
Okay.
And
which I appreciate.
It's terrible. Looks terrible.
Well, it's the Bachelorette. Who cares?
Yeah.
But she said yes to the guy. And supposedly they're smitten and in love and getting married.
And I did hear that he's from Chicago and she's moving to Chicago with him.
I do think I heard that from my wife
on the
who
news,
keeps talking about it.
Actually, no, not on that news. I heard it on the radio on my way here.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
We have that to look. I look forward to running into her.
I'm
not
sure
really.
You do. My best entertainment moment of the week is Amy's reaction to the twins in Transformers 2. Now, for those of you who haven't
seen this.
Now,
you're not referring to Megan Fox when you say the
I'm
twins.
Not referring to Megan Fox's jumblies. No, what I'm referring to is the two, you know, black robot guys.
Uh-huh.
Now, I forgot about this, and I'm sure this is actually what was considered to be the most offensive part of those characters. Because, you know, when I told the story before, I was just talking about the part how they had messed up teeth and how they kept fighting and how they were being like, oh, man, let's go get some ice cream. Yeah, I want to get some ice cream. No, I'm going to kick your ass, you know, stuff like that.
Right. This is actual dialogue from the movie?
Yeah. No, the worst part was when they were trying to figure out what these symbols meant, and he asked the twins, do you guys know what these symbols mean? And they're like, oh, no, man, we don't do much reading. She was laughing for like 5 minutes because she couldn't believe that they put that in the movie. And it was really funny, like seeing her reaction. She was like, what? She goes, I can't believe that they put that in there. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. So ridiculous. Oh, no, man, we don't do much reading. You're going to have to ask someone else. I mean, it was so ridiculous.
That's terrible.
Although soon after that was the scene where another one of the little Decepticons was humping Megan Fox's leg. So that was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd do it if I had the opportunity.
Charming.
I really wouldn't. She doesn't seem like the greatest person in the world either. And her lips are like too big. Like there's something about Angelina Jolie that even though some of her features like that are very big, like she's got very big eyes, very big lips, it all works together. Uh-huh. Megan Fox's lips just seem way too big for her face because she's kind of a smallish person.
Right.
You know what I mean? But whatever. So that was.
I like that you're ending on what's wrong with her face.
Yeah. It's about Megan Fox, which most people are not going to agree with me on anyway. Right. So, and by the way, for the record, all those people who think Megan Fox
don't say
looks like Angelina Jolie.
Oh, okay.
Idiots. Complete idiots. These two women look absolutely nothing alike.
No, there are similarities. You can't say they look nothing alike.
Okay, they have dark hair. That's it. That's the only similarity they have. Their eyes are completely different. Their noses are different. Their entire frame is different. Their entire facial structure is different. Their mouths don't look anything alike. They have dark hair, and they're both attractive. That's the only thing they have in common. Ridiculous. But anyway, that's all I got. You got anything else?
I have a split screen between the two of them. There's a little similarity.
Oh, come on. Is the shape of their face the same? No.
No.
Shape of their mouth's the same? No. No. Their nose is the same?
No.
No. Are their eyes the same shape or color? No. No. They have dark hair and they're pretty.
Their eyebrows are similar.
Which could be plucked at any moment.
And aren't they both tall?
I don't know the answer to that question, to be honest.
I think you should
And I will say, have you ever heard Megan Fox speak? Well, you saw the first Transformers,
she looks,
right?
You know, Megan Fox looks like a drag queen in this picture.
She always seems like she's got a lot of makeup on. That's another thing I'm not crazy about with her. Like, even in the movie, it looks like she's got a ton of makeup on. My guess is that she has a kind of funky complexion.
My guess is she used to be a man.
No, I think she's
really,
got...
Really, she looks like one of those that you find out later was a man. Like that one Bond girl that was once a man.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, I don't.
Did you just make that up?
No, there was an old Bond girl that was old. We're talking old Bond girl. Is this still Cannonball Run?
Yep.
Tula was her name.
Tula. That was
For Your Eyes Only.
I probably have blocked that one out of my memory. Is Tula her real name or the character name?
She was born a man. Oh, you mean?
No, I mean, is that the actor's name or the character's name?
Oh, you know what? Let me find out.
Because I don't, that doesn't sound familiar to me. And I am a pretty big James Bond movie fan.
I think it was the
character's name?
Character's name.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Because her name now is Carolyn Cossey.
I still think my
name, Barry Kenneth Cossey.
So there you go. Not really much of a question there. I think my favorite Bond, like not Bond girl, but Bond, you know, peripheral girl character names were from, what was the one that took place in Las Vegas? Diamonds Are Forever. The two girls, Bambi and Thumper.
Really?
Yeah. It was awesome. I love that movie. That's a great movie. That's one of my favorite Bond movies.
My least favorite Bond girl? What do you think my least favorite Bond girl is?
Pussy galore?
No, not character.
Oh.
Actress. What actress do I complain about almost on a weekly basis?
I don't know.
Denise Richards.
Oh, see, I've forgotten that she was a Bond girl because I didn't like the Timothy Dalton Bond movies.
I don't buy her as a...
He looks like a Sharpay. You don't want a Sharpay saving the world. Okay, that's what movies like...
Who was that one?
What?
That was Pierce Brosnan?
No, Timothy Dalton. I just said that.
No, not with... Denise Richards. That was Pierce Brosnan.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, too bad. Pierce Brosnan, for the record, does not look like a Sharpay.
No.
He's a fine-looking individual.
He's more of a whippet.
My wife and a bunch of my aunts and sisters and stuff like that all went to see the Mamma Mia when it was out several months ago.
The Mamma Mia?
The Mamma Mia. And the scuttlebutt is that... Pierce Brosnan's most embarrassing career moment.
Yeah,
that his singing was just dreadful, dreadful. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just like overdub that or something?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't think it was trying to take itself too seriously.
Well, but supposedly a lot of the other performances were really great.
Right.
But I don't know, because I remember going into Evita that I thought, oh my God, you kidding me? What's his name?
Antonio Banderas
singing. Are you kidding me? But he was
actually
great.
He's got a great voice.
He was great in that movie.
He sang in different movies.
Yeah, but I don't think I had ever seen him sing before. I think that was actually a pretty damn good movie.
What?
Evita.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Gorgeous. Beautiful cinematography.
She won the Golden Globe for it.
Yeah. Was that the last thing she's ever won?
Yeah, pretty much.
Not surprised. Yeah. So there you go. That's it for this week, folks.
Actually, we've run a little over, haven't we?
Let's just leave off on Madonna not winning any more prizes,
yes.
Shall we? And so that's pretty much it. As always, write to us at podcast@pause.com. We'd love to hear from you. Tony still wants some life questions. Let's keep them on the lighter side.
Please.
And not actual life questions that, you know, could cause anything bad to happen.
Because really, you don't want my advice in those things.
No. I mean, Tony's been in and out of prison so many times, I can't even count.
It's just three.
Okay. Well, I can count to that. That's cool. If I use two hands. So send email to us at podcast@pause.com. Visit us on Facebook. Friend us there if you have not already. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and rate us and leave us a review if you're so inclined, which you should be. And that's pretty much all we have for this week. Thanks again, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.